Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Slice of Healthcare. I'm your host, Jared Taylor. This is a really cool episode, very excited. We're having Vitals, V-I-T-L-S, on, and they have a really cool story behind why the business was started, so it should be a great episode. Without further ado, let's get Werner onto the show.
Hi, Jared. How's it going?
Good. Good. Thanks for coming on the podcast. Appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're happy to have you and looking forward to learning more about your company. I haven't told the audience yet, but I first touched base with Werner about 2 years ago. I had a blog called Startup Combos where I interviewed startup companies, and Werner was one of the first companies that I decided to interview, which was really cool. And it's kind of funny coming back full circle 2 years later on a different channel and chatting yet again.
So, yeah, thankfully, we're the same company.
I think it'd be really beneficial for the audience if you could give us a quick introduction about you and your business, and then we can get in.
Great. So my background is in business. I'd say I'm a software developer by training. I haven't coded for only 15 years now. My previous company that I founded is a platform similar to Uber, but for pre-booking. So if you go on holiday, you'd book transport on our website, similar to the way you book a flight. And we transport people all over the world. We operate in 116 countries currently, and transported about 3.7 million passengers last year. So it's grown into a big company. I'm not involved actively anymore. Because about 2 years ago, I started a healthcare company called Vitals. So we started the company because one of my sons suffered from febrile seizures, and which is basically almost like an epileptic fit, but it's caused by fever. So we were looking for something that could monitor him and alert or wake us up when he had a fever. And one thing led to another. We ended up starting a company that builds a technology that can do this. So when I spoke to you last time, we were focused on the consumer market. But after a lot of validation, we decided to pivot to hospitals and add more functionality to our product to make it suitable for hospital monitoring. So that's where we are currently. We recently, 3 months ago, moved to Houston from South Africa to be able to spend more time on the company and not have the constraints of, time zone difference, which really makes it difficult to work with people in the US if you're 7 hours ahead of them. So it turns into late nights and early mornings. So yeah, so that's where we are currently. That's the company. That's a little bit about me.
Interesting. Now, I know, so that's a great story, and it really talks about the idea generation, how it originally came. I do want to discuss, because I think it's important for many of the healthcare professionals that either are entrepreneurs or want to get into entrepreneurship, as well as any entrepreneur out there today. When did you know it was the right point to pivot?
So our device was focused on kids because we had the problem with our son. And basically after speaking to a lot of potential customers, I think we walked around on the streets of San Francisco interviewing, I think, total of 60 moms or parents. So I think customer validation was the main reason. Because they put us in a bucket of baby monitors, and that's a very competitive market. So, and we didn't want to be a baby monitor. We wanted to be more a device that was used when a child was sick. So yeah, definitely customer validation. And one of the things we didn't do with our first company, the travel company, but it's essential. We found essential to not only speak to customers in the beginning, but always talk to them and get their feedback. You don't have to use all of it, obviously, but but get feedback.
Interesting. So who is the main party within a hospital that you really deal with?
So there are a couple of use cases for our device. There are a lot of use cases for our device. We've decided to focus initially on in-hospital, or they call it pre-hospital, which is essentially emergency room monitoring. We're working with Texas Children's Hospital on a pilot, RB-approved pilot with them, so they'll use the technology to triage patients in their waiting room and treat them, get them admitted sooner or get them out of the door sooner before they deteriorate too much or too far. So essentially we'll be working with the emergency medicine team. It's our route in is through them and a pilot, but then we start working or talking to the IT team after that, the value assessment team. So there's a lot of moving parts in a hospital and departments you have to get through to actually get adoption in the end.
Interesting. I really like what you're working on, because definitely if you're able to have this early detection, like you were saying, of patient deterioration, lower the length of stay, and you're going to lower the cost of the treatments that they would be having. Yeah. That's really interesting.
Yeah, that's a long-term gain. I'd say short-term, nurses are inundated with work, and this can help them spend more time on the things that are needed. If we can take care of the patient monitoring side, and they don't have to go do it and sterilize the equipment they use and spend time on data, inputting that data into the medical record. If it can be there already, then they can focus on dealing with the patient and making sure they're comfortable and happy and focus on their other tasks. So that's the surface level help we can provide, but the long term, yeah, it's in hopefully shortening hospital stays, improving care, and patient outcomes as well as patient satisfaction. If you don't have to be woken up every night, every 2 to 4 hours to be monitored, or 2 to 6 hours to be monitored, then you'd be a happier patient and hopefully heal sooner or faster if you get good sleep.
Yeah, because I remember when you first started the company, we were talking a while back, you were saying the alternative with your son in his case was you'd have to wake him up, right? Or to check the temperature and that for that situation. This is going back a little bit. But that was the way you did it, right? You had to do it manually.
Yeah, so we had to sleep next to him. We took turns sleep next to him at night, whenever he squirmed or we woke up, we would quickly check his temperature with our in-ear thermometer, and that woke him up and upset him, and then it took a while to get him to sleep, back to sleep. So yeah, that's essentially what we had to do.
That must not have been a great time in your life for getting sleep. You must have been sleep deprived quite a bit, and you were dealing with this company with different hours. I mean, kudos to you for making it all work. So no complaining for entrepreneurs out there.
Oh, yeah.
If you had to go through all these different things, you know.
Yeah, starting a company is always tough. So you just make it work, right?
What would you say are some of your favorite things about being an entrepreneur, specifically in the healthcare space, but you can be broad as well?
Okay.
Just what do you like about it?
So I love so it's always exciting to build something new. So I enjoy that. I enjoy the reactions we get from physicians and nurses when we talk to them about what we've built, and all the ideas they come up with and how excited they are about what we're doing and keen to start using it. So that's exciting. That I always enjoy that, even though I sometimes struggle to convey that to other people. And what else is there? It's basically building something new. It's almost like convincing someone that the sky is purple, right? Because we have to convince people now that this is worthwhile looking at and worthwhile using or worthwhile investing in. And even though it's tough to convince people, there's a fun side to it. And when it dawns on them, or when the light comes, switches on the bulb, then that's the fun part.
Interesting. I can tell the passion in your voice when you talk about what you're doing too, which is always, it's always depressing when you hear an entrepreneur talk about what they do and they don't sound enthused, because it's like, wait a second here.
It's supposed to be like that.
Yeah. If you don't have that passion, you're in trouble. So I can tell you have the passion. Is your wife still involved with the business? Because I know she was originally.
She is. Too. Yeah. She's more involved now. She's very strong operationally. So I need her. I enjoy working on technology, speaking to the users, and she's the one who makes sure that what I say will happens in the background. So no, she's been pivotal so far, and even though she I think she would also enjoy spending more time with the kids, for now she's an important part.
Would you say, I remember I watched the one of the Steve Jobs movies with Michael Fassbender, and I remember his project manager for that ran the Mac project. It's funny because you said she makes sure what you're saying and keeps that in check, basically manages expectations, which is what the Steve Jobs project manager did. Are there ever times where you want to get really aggressive with certain goals and she needs to say, like, well, let's either tone those down or let's pick those up? Does that ever come
yeah,
up?
Yeah, it does every now and then. I think that's why it's good that she's involved, because we complement one another in that sense, that she pushes me and I push her as well, boundary wise. And in the end, we meet each other in the middle and it works. It actually hit what we said we would, and that's good.
What advice would you give? Because I know out there, there's a lot of either entrepreneurs or wannabe entrepreneurs that are looking to get into this exciting field. What, not specifically healthcare in general, but any field for an entrepreneurship venture. What advice would you give them when it comes to working with your spouse every day? Because I'm sure there's some out there that go, I could never do that. Mm. Like, how do you make it work? What are some tips?
Yeah, that's a good question. So definitely try and leave work at work and talk about other things at home. We still struggle with that, because for us, the work's almost all consuming, in the sense that we came to the US for the company. So definitely try and do that, try and separate it. And one thing that we've implemented and that's actually been working well and pretty cool is to celebrate small victories, and it could be menial celebrations, but just acknowledging that. And I think that's more an answer to entrepreneurs overall, or being an entrepreneur, is that you have to celebrate the small victories, because the big ones are few and far between. So that's one thing that we've implemented and it works pretty well. And what else? Yeah, I think that would be my advice or my experience.
Those make sense. The biggest thing I see is, and it sounds like you guys are in a really good spot and you're able to manage that whole relationship and make it work, which is amazing. So kudos to both of you. When it comes to, you said celebrate the small wins and the big wins. What are you doing? Because they do come up when you have these. I was telling someone the other day, it's nice when you hit like a positive milestone or a really big milestone. It's like, great. Yeah. And then when you have the down moments, because when you're down, you can get down. Yeah. What is your advice when an entrepreneur gets down on themselves? How do you say to, what would you say to them to get them out of that funk and keep pushing on if it's worth pursuing? That is.
Yeah, so with me, I'm the more head in the clouds one in the company, so it's always tougher to get me down, I think, but I always go back to why we started it, and and look at what we've achieved so far. And with us, as I said, we moved here, almost burnt the ships in the harbor. So I don't want to go. I don't want to give up. So I always think back on what we've given up to be to get here and what we've achieved so far. And I think finding someone, having someone you can talk to during those times, who can help you focus on those on the times we on the successes and what you've achieved so far, and what your goals are, and what and why you've started, I think that helps. So to have that sounding board really helps as well.
Excellent. Yeah, I think the biggest, one of the biggest problems some entrepreneurs run into is they do get down on themselves. And sometimes I don't want to tell people like don't at all, because there are points where it's like, oh, wow, this is bad. But you need to have that short-term memory, I think, unless it really is a big issue, right? If this is like, there are going to be issues that come up
You
that
can't ignore,
question, like, is this even feasible
yeah.
anymore? And that's another big mistake some will make. They'll, like you said, you and you're this type of person. You'll always look at what the facts are and what the situation is. I don't peg you as someone that would chase something if you didn't truly believe that you can create it into something of significant value, of lasting value. But I see some entrepreneurs, they do need to learn that this thing they're chasing, is there a real opportunity at some point down the road once they figure it out? And if it's not, really think about it and decide, is this something worth going after, or is it worth calling it
Yeah,
quits? I think some people don't want to quit.
I agree, and part of an entrepreneur is not to quit, but I think if you look, and that kind of goes back to talking to the people who's going to use your device and or product, and I mean the feedback you keep getting along the way really helps, not necessarily only from user, well, definitely not from users, but from people who help you build the product, and obviously investors as well. I mean, we've received a lot of no's. Everyone does, every entrepreneur does receive a lot of no's from investors. So thick skin is important, but you keep assessing the feedback you get, and if it keeps if it's continually if you're continually challenged around what you're building and the feasibility of it, and if it's possible to build, then yeah, you should just start asking yourself more specific questions.
Yeah, it was I was listening to a podcast the other day on entrepreneurship, and it was talking about entrepreneurs chasing something and understanding the customer's opinion on it. I think sometimes entrepreneurs chase something because they think, well, this is going to be big. This is a big need. And you'll have customers that say, yeah, I really like it. But until unless they it doesn't really become a reality that they truly want it until the purchase order,
Yep, comes through.
comes through.
Correct.
And very interesting. Very interesting. What's next for Vitals? What do you see in the future? What's on the horizon?
So next, this pilot with or study with Texas Children's Hospital is a big one for us. So, well, very important. It's bigger than we thought it was, after a couple of meetings with them. So we're preparing for that. We're also in discussions about a couple of other studies, early days in discussions, but looks pretty good. So next for us is getting ready to do those studies and have successful studies, and we're also then filing for regulatory approval for the US as well as Europe, so CE as well as FDA. And after that, we're raising a round, obviously raising funding. Seed round, which we have received some money already, which is great. I received an amount yesterday as well, which was good news always.
Excellent.
And then we'll be ready for market. So then that changes things. So we have to scale manufacturing, get more staff on board. So that's the next phase.
Very interesting. How can the audience, how can healthcare professionals specifically help your company? What can they do for you to help move it along in any way?
Yeah, thanks. So we're always looking for expertise more validation or other use cases and feedback on what we think we should do, we should build, where we should focus. I mean, we've nailed our focus, but the next step or the next market for us to look at or the next use case is always valuable. So I mentioned pre-hospital. There's also, so one of the studies we're looking at is in sepsis. And then in hospital monitoring is another study we're looking at on the general ward floor. So there's a lot of use cases. So any feedback on that, any validation, so that's valuable. Obviously, investment. So if anyone's interested in participating in our round, it's a seed round. So there's individuals that are investing as well. So I'd say that. So expertise and advice would be great. And then funding.
Okay.
Thank you for asking.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I want to cover one more thing before we close.
Okay.
Out on the podcast, and we tell people where they can reach you and follow you on social media. A big topic of discussion over the last few podcasts, and I should be doing a solo podcast talking about healthcare innovation coming up. It's definitely a topic that I keep my eyes of, and I want to ask you, one of the things we're really trying to figure out is how can healthcare professionals, because they're in the situation every single day, it can be any situation within the healthcare system or healthcare opportunity, how can they innovate more? What is some advice that you will give any healthcare professionals that are listening to innovate more? Because a lot of them have ideas. Maybe they're not acting on them. They're seeing the problems every day. Maybe they don't think it's something worth pursuing, but how can we get more innovation out of healthcare?
Okay, that's a good question. I was actually had a similar discussion yesterday with someone at an event. So I know a lot of hospital systems have started innovation departments, and we met with quite a few of them, and they're pretty innovative, open to suggestions, open to looking at ideas from their physicians. We are actually part of a program at the Texas Medical Center's Innovation Institute in Houston. We went through their medical device program, and they look at companies from early stage to a bit later stage with ideas. So they open the applications up to physicians as well, who has ideas, and try and connect them with entrepreneurs who can execute those ideas on the business side. So on the business end. So I'd suggest looking for programs like that, and hooking onto or jumping on that train to try and at least validate the idea and see if it's worthwhile. And then those type of institutes or the innovation teams at health systems can open the doors to move it along and bring it to fruition.
Great answer. Yeah, I think and I think healthcare professionals should not shy away from partnering up with non-healthcare professionals, because I think it's always great to have an outside view that they're seeing something the same way every single day, potentially, and maybe they present that opportunity to someone on the outside who, you know, has good business acumen and is entrepreneurial, and maybe there's a way to pair up and really create something of significant value.
Yeah, and there are a lot of good ideas that come out of or from people who work in the industry day to day. It's tough to see it from the outside and figure it out without input from the inside.
Absolutely, it's really interesting though. I can get lost sometimes, and I have to be careful reading up on all the innovation.
Yeah.
Innovational, you know, things happening.
Yeah, there's a lot
within healthcare. It's crazy. So I want to close out Werner, where can people learn more about Vitals? Where can they follow the company and get in touch if need be?
Thank you. So we have a website, obviously. We're redoing it now, but it's Vitals Inc. So VITLSinc.com. Twitter is just Vitals Inc. or at Vitals Inc. And LinkedIn, we are Vitals-Inc. So please follow us, it'd be great. And hopefully our website should be up in about 4 weeks, 4 to 5 weeks, 4 to 5 weeks. So have a look then. It'll look much better than it looks now. I developed the one we have now, and that's why it doesn't look as well as good as it can. So we're getting some professional help with that.
Very nice. Okay. And I'll, for everyone listening, I'll put in the show notes links to all of your social media as well. Because I know it's a little bit easier just to click on it than it is to, you know, search it and everything. Yeah. So I'll have that all set, as well as just a quick summary of our conversation. But definitely, if anyone's interested in helping out Werner's company and taking, I mean, he's going to take it to the next level. I have no doubt in that. But it's always nice for healthcare professionals to help out these innovational products and companies.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I look forward to hearing in another 2 years how things are shaping out.
Yeah, thank you.
But I'm sure we'll talk before then. Let's not let it go too long.
No, not again.
But it's great to catch up. And everyone, definitely go check out Vitals and follow what they're doing.
Thanks so much, Jared, for the time. I appreciate it.
All right. You have too. A good day.
Thanks. Bye. Bye.
Thank you to everyone who listened to this episode. Please be sure to check out Vitals on all of their social channels, which are available in the show notes, as well as Slice of Healthcare on our social channels, which are also available in the show notes. And stay tuned for another episode of Slice of Healthcare coming up in the coming weeks. Thanks, and have a great day.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast. The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.